Blog Talk Radio.
On Fulfill Bible Prophecy. We are delighted to be back again today to continue our study, and this is going to be one of the wrap-up lessons on the subject of the kingdom of heaven is in hand. And today we're going to be talking about the already but not yet. The already but not yet. Before we get started, I'd like to invite you to give us a call on our number for your questions or comments or concerns, and that number is 646-378-1919. You can call into the switchboard. We'll take that call, and we'll get your call on the air. Again, the number is 646-378-1919. We look forward to speaking with you, and it will be our pleasure to entertain your question concerning the kingdom of heaven being at hand. Also, we would like to introduce you and invite you to visit us at our website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays-eschatology.net. You can also visit with us at www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. And at those websites, you will find various articles, videos, audio information that you can download and learn more about the subject of fulfilled Bible prophecy and the end time. We seek to give you information from this broadcast that will help you in your study of the last days, to help eliminate some of the fears and the misinformation which is out there. And, of course, there is plenty of that going on. And also to encourage you to be a better student of the Word of God as you learn how to apply these messages that have been written for us on the pages of inspiration. Now, we have been talking for at least a week or so now on the subject of the kingdom of heaven being in hand. Yesterday, we pointed out from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, the reason that we do not continue today to pray, "Thy kingdom come." In other words, we understand that the kingdom is now in hand, and therefore it is no longer at hand, and so we are no longer praying for the kingdom to come. Now, some people still labor under what we call the Lord's Prayer, and they're still asking God for the kingdom to come. Well, that is no longer required of us. It is no longer accurate to be praying for the kingdom to come, because the kingdom has arrived. Now, we're going to give you just a couple of scriptures on that. Let me read the passage in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses 9. It says, "In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Now, that's a part of what we call the Lord's Prayer. It was actually, more accurately, the disciples' prayer, because that's what the Lord taught to his disciples. He taught them to pray. You may find in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 beginning, they came to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray in the same manner that John taught his disciples to pray." In other words, they wanted the Lord to teach them a prayer, just like John taught his disciples a prayer, that is, John the Baptist. Nevertheless, Jesus taught them. But at the time, he was speaking to his apostles who were living at that time, and in the first century generation, before he had died on the cross, before the events on the day of Pentecost, and before the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant, and this is why they were to pray that the kingdom come. You may recall just a scripture that I'll give you to start, Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they were still looking for the kingdom to arrive after Jesus' death, but this was before Pentecost. So it was proper for them to pray for the kingdom to come. It was proper for them to expect the kingdom. It was proper for them to look forward to that which was going to come in the future. However, we are not living in the same time perspective that they are, in the same chronological time frame that they are, and therefore we cannot ask for things that they asked for that had to do with a certain time element in terms of when they were going to be fulfilled, because we would be historically in a different position. And even some of them lived beyond the time that the kingdom was to come, and we'll show you some of the scriptures in the Bible. Now, we're also going to talk about this concept of already but not yet. Now, this is what confuses a lot of people in the scriptures, especially when it comes down to talking about the end time. And that is a concept in the Bible. It's not stated that way, but there are so many scriptures, I mean tons of them, especially as it relates to the end time, that suggest an already but not yet concept. Now, what we mean by the already is that these things were progressive in nature in terms of their arrival. In other words, they didn't come all at once, and they were progressively developed, meaning that they had a beginning, they had an interim period, and they had a consummation period. Let me give you an example, one that I'm sure that you can understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about the time of the perfect man, the time or the state of the coming of the perfect man. Now, the perfect man means simply that which has reached its consummation in terms of its growth or its age. It has come to a point of maturity. It is an adult as opposed to being a child. However, the adult stage is one thing, the adolescent stage is another, and the infancy stage is altogether different. It's not three different people. It is simply the same person going through a transition of progressive development. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, for example, where Paul said in verse 10, he said, but when that which is perfect is come or has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now notice verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So here is Paul saying that when he was a child, he spoke as a child. Now, when he was a babe, he spoke as a babe. When he was a child, he spoke as a child. When he became an adolescent, he spoke as an adolescent. When he became an adult, he spoke as an adult. You see the transition and the progressive nature? We're not talking about two or three different men in the case of Paul when he uses this example. Now, the state of the perfect refers to the church. It refers to the kingdom. And we're going to look at an example that expressly mentions the kingdom, showing you this already but not yet. So let's talk about the already but not yet in relation to the passage that we've just given. That is in relation to 1 Corinthians 13, and verses 10 and 11. Now, when Paul said, when I was a child, now, he's affirming that he is in existence. He's affirming that he is alive. He is affirming that he exists, but he is not affirming that he is a full-grown man. He says, when I was a child. Therefore, he is not a full-grown man at that time. So there is the already. He's already in existence. He's been born, he has grown for a while to become a child of some age. We don't know how old he was when he makes this reference, when I was a child, but he has not become an adult. He is not an adult. So there's the already, but the not yet. Do you see the concept? It's the already, but the not yet. This is so critical in understanding the scriptures. Now, let's turn to a passage that speaks of the kingdom that was also under this already but not yet concept. And then after we look at this, we'll be able to go to the scriptures and understand why some of them speak of the kingdom as being present and some of them speak of the kingdom as not being present. And then we'll try to reconcile all of that in relationship to the time frame of the now as opposed to then. In Mark chapter 4, Mark gives us a parable concerning the kingdom. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. And he said, the kingdom, this is Christ speaking, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast or scatter seed on the ground. Now, here is the kingdom. But the Bible says it starts out as if it's a man who is scattering seed on the ground. Now, we know what seed is. Seed is the beginning part or stage process of a full-grown plant that eventually produces a harvest. But in the seed stage, it is not a full-grown plant. And in order for it to become a full-grown plant, it has to undergo a process of planting or sowing, as the Bible calls it. So this man had this seed, and he scattered it on the ground. Now, the Bible says this is the manner of the kingdom. Then he says, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. What is he telling us now? He's telling us that there is a process of time which is passing while this seed is beginning to germinate. In other words, there is a time that is in progress so that the seed must have time in order for it to fully mature, in order for it to grow into a plant. Now, there's certain things that happen as the seed grows, certain developmental things that occur along the way. Let's look at the text and let's follow it. So as this man sleeps by night and he rises by day, and the scripture says, and the seed should sprout. So there's the first stage of the seed. It sprouts. Secondly, he says, it grows. And then it says, the man does not know how. And that's because the Bible says that we as men plant and we water, but it's God who gives the increase. So it's God who holds the germ of life in his hand, that which men does not understand, and that's exactly what the song, Our God, who is, you know, he's alive, says, that secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. And so here's what he's saying, that as this man sleeps by night and he rises by day, the Bible says the seed sprouts and it grows, but he himself does not know how. Only God has the secret of life. Number 28, verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. So now we have this processive growth of this seed, but the Bible says this is the kingdom. Now let's go on. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now we want you to understand that while the kingdom is in its seed stage, it's in existence, it's been sown, and it begins to sprout and it begins to grow. But then it moves to another stage where it begins to shoot forth the blade. And then the small ear of wheat or corn comes on the stalk. And then next, you have the full grain of corn in the stalk. But once the grain is full and ripened, something immediately takes place. There is no delay. In other words, you do not leave the corn or the wheat in the field forever. It is harvested right away. If it is not harvested, then you lose that which is good. There's always going to be some of the plant that you throw away. That's the chaff, that's the husks, that's those, that part of the stalk and everything that is unusable, at least in their day and time, in their agrarian society. Today, of course, we're finding ways to use those things to produce fuels, biofuels, etc. But the point being is that they were not edible, they were not of use in their society. And so the scripture says immediately the harvest comes in. Now, this is what we want you to see in terms of the development of the kingdom. It started off, it grew, it matured, It produced fruit, and then the harvest came immediately. Now, keep this in mind when people tell you that we are still waiting for the kingdom to come. We are still waiting for the end of time to arrive. We're still waiting for the last days. We're still waiting for the battle of Armageddon. We're still waiting for some cataclysmic destruction of the earth. Nope, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when the kingdom became full grown, immediately he thrust in the sickle, and therefore the harvest time came. Now, the harvest time came at what's called the end of the age. We can find that in Matthew chapter 13 and also in Matthew chapter 24. So let's take a moment and let's look at those passages. In Matthew 13, and this is a passage that appears to be very similar to Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, it is called the parable of the tares, the parable of the tares. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24, the Bible says, another parable. He spoke forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So he just introduces another concept with the sowing of the seed in Matthew 13 that he did not state in Mark chapter 4. In this example, he also talked about the tares that grew up alongside the wheat. And so he says, so the servants of the owner came and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? Now keep this in mind. People talk about a rapture. They talk about there is a time where God is going to rapture people from the earth. They're saying that people will be driving down the street in their cars, and the driver will be raptured up to heaven. The car will drive on down the road and crash somewhere. People can be in an assembly at the ball game, and some of these seats will immediately become empty while others remain, because they believe that some idea of a rapture is going to take place. Well, is there a time when God is going to take certain people out of the earth as a group in a rapture type event before what is called the time of the harvest, the end time, or the second coming of Christ? Well, in Matthew 13 and verse 28, the Bible says, when they said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? Should we take out the tares before the harvest? And he said, no. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also root up the wheat also. Now watch, verse 30. Let them both grow together until the harvest. See, there cannot be a rapture taught in the Bible, because the Bible says, let both the tares and the wheat grow together until the harvest. They were both to grow together until the harvest. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of viewpoint you try to put on another text. The scripture says, let them both grow together until the harvest. Matthew 13 and verse 30 talks about the good seed sown with the tares. There is no separating of them any time before the end time. Now, we're going to see that as we look further at this text. So there is no separation. There is no rapturing of the righteous out of the world. There is no rapture of one group and leaving the other group behind. He says no. When they asked him, could we take one group and separate it from the other in advance of the harvest, the answer was no. He says, let both grow together until the harvest. He says, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat also. So let them both grow together until the harvest and at the time of the harvest. Now, when did Jesus say he was going to take them out? At the time of the harvest. Now, why do you harvest? You harvest because you want the fruit. What kind of fruit? You want the good fruit. At the time of the harvest, he says, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them. Now, that is direct opposite to what people who believe in a rapture teach. They teach that God will, 1,000 years before the end time, gather the righteous out of the world, carry them off to heaven, and then come back later and at the harvest gather up everybody else. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let them both grow together until the harvest and at the time of the harvest. Not before, not after, at the time of the harvest. The scripture says, I will say to the reapers, first, gather the tares. Now, God doesn't even gather the righteous first. It's the wicked he pulls out first. Isn't it strange how people can so misread the Bible and so misteach the Bible and so mislead so many people with their misreading and misteaching of the Bible? That's so strange to me when the scriptures are very, very clear. The Bible says, first gather the tares. The tares are the wicked. You're not taking the righteous out of the world and leaving the wicked behind, but he pulled the tares out and left the righteous. Interesting concept, isn't it? Totally contrary to dispensationalism, totally contrary to premillennialism, totally contrary to these doctrines that are being taught and scaring people to death about a rapture. Has no basis whatsoever in the scriptures. And the passages that they appeal to, they make them contradict these simple statements of Christ, and he's talking about the end time. So let's go on further. So he says, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but then gather the wheat into my barn. Now, after he had spoken this parable, Jesus explains it because the disciples didn't quite get it. So they asked him later on, you know, Lord, what do you mean by all this? And verse 36, the Bible says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parables of the tares. Now, before I get into this, let me take a moment to give you our phone number again so you can call in and ask your question. That number is 646-378-1919. Again, that's 646-378-1919. 1919. We'll take your question over the air, give you a Bible answer to a Bible question. We do encourage you to give us a call, and we appreciate that. Now, let's go on. We're in verse 36. And so verse 37 says, he who answered, this is Christ explaining the parable now, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Now watch this. The harvest is the end of the age. Now, please understand what Jesus didn't say. He did not say the harvest was 1,000 years before the end of the age. He did not say the harvest was a 7-year pre-tribulation period before the end of the age. He did not say that the harvest was a mid-tribulation period of 3.5 years before the end of the age. You can't read that in the text. It's not in the scriptures. What he did say was that the harvest is the end of the age. Now, what was the condition before the harvest? Here is the condition. Let them both grow together until the end of the harvest. There was no taking anybody out of the world, and so we should not expect to see that in the scriptures, and even more importantly, it's not going to happen in our lifetime, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. So stay with us. Now, in verse 40, after he said, the enemy that sold them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of this age. Now, here are some other things I want you to note that people read into this text and into the Bible that's not there. I don't know what kind of glasses some people wear when they read the scriptures. But they read glasses that say there's more in it than what I can see. And then they go out and teach that more that they've come up with that's not in it. The Bible says, add thou not to his words, neither shall you take away from them, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. So now let's look at what the Bible says. So it will be at the end of this age, the Son of Man will send his angels and will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. And as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Now, please underline the word this and the word age. The word this and the word age. The word this and the word age. Here's what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say that the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of time. It doesn't read that way. It's not stated that way, and it should not be understood that way. He did not say at the end of time. Everybody wants to talk about the end of time, and the Bible doesn't say a thing about it. Never, ever has God talked about the end of time in Scripture. What he does talk about is the end of this age. Now that bears a little bit of study. My question would be, what age are you talking about, Lord? What do you mean when you say this age? Well, when the Bible defines this age, it talks about, the word this, first of all, is a demonstrative pronoun. And it refers to that which is near. So when Jesus said this age, he was talking about an age in which he and his disciples, who were living in the first century, were a part of. It is incorrect to ascribe the concept of this age to our generation. This age referred to the Jewish age that was in existence in the first century. Now let me give you go back to chapter 12 and let's take a look. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 31 and 32. You see, this age is in contrast to what the Bible calls the age to come. We're talking about the already but not yet. And yes, we will continue this subject on tomorrow because people need to understand the concept of the already but not yet. And if you didn't get that from the, if you tuned in a little bit late and you haven't picked up on that, please go back and listen to the first part of the lesson because that is critical in understanding the concept of the kingdom. You have to understand what's called the already but not yet. Now, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 32, he says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now watch this. Either in this age, now that's the age in which Jesus was presently living, or in the age to come. You see, the age in which Jesus was born and in which he died was the Jewish age. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Not under the gospel, made under the law. So what age was Jesus living in? The Jewish age. The age to come was yet to come. It was even yet to come after the apostles. Let me give you one more scripture so that you understand the age, this age, rather, in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and the verse is 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. We're going to look at what the Bible says about the age and contrasting this age with the age to come. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom, notice now, of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now watch verse 8 very carefully. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now you tell me, has the Lord already been crucified? And at what time and in what age was he crucified? I can assure you this. It wasn't in our generation. It was in the first century generation. That's when Paul lived. That's when Jesus lived. And that's what the Bible means about this age. And thus, he's telling you that the age in which Jesus lived was the Jewish age. Now, that's all the time that we have for today. We're going to continue this subject on tomorrow. We do ask you to tune in. I'm William Bell, asking you to visit our website at www.lastdays-eschatology.net and www.allthingsfulfilled.com. It's been a pleasure being with you. We look forward to seeing you on tomorrow.